Welcome to another episode of the NCO Journal Podcast. I'm Sergeant Jared Woods. Today we'll discuss plagiarism to include different types, how to avoid it, and its ethical implications. Here with me today is the Deputy Director of Army University Press, Dr. Don Wright. So, Dr. Wright, why is this topic important, and what exactly is plagiarism?
The Army is becoming far more interested in how NCOs and officers write. And in that setting and in academia at large, plagiarism is on the rise. It's far easier to do today, and students can get in trouble if they don't understand what plagiarism is. Unfortunately, we see cases of plagiarism at all levels in academia as well as in the Army. And that's not just enlisted, that's also officers. So talking about plagiarism right now is a good idea, because if we explain it when soldiers are in their early years of their career, by the time they become senior leaders, they won't be getting in trouble for this kind of thing. What instructors are looking for is originality. So if I assign you a paper, I want to see what you can do with your written work, the way that you structure an argument, the evidence that you provide. I want you to be original in your work. That's what I expect to see. And so when students bring in words from some other author, it's no longer original. The problems come in what's in how students understand what plagiarism is, some of the rules that guide our understanding of plagiarism and what instructors expect. So I found in about 25 years of teaching, the best way to go about this is to explain to students what plagiarism is and what the expectations are of the class. Interestingly enough, there's no one universal definition of plagiarism. So part of what we try to do in classes as instructors is explain those, especially the way that a particular university or college defines plagiarism. And in the world of professional military education, there will be similar definitions for each particular school or course on what plagiarism constitutes. So you asked, why is this a problem? It has been on the rise, and that's the other part of the issue here. Since the internet became available widely, really the middle of the 1990s, it's been far easier to plagiarize in the form of going to electronic sources and simply copying and pasting into your own work, your own written work. There are some studies about this problem, and they've really seen a jump in the last 15 or 20 years from something like 10 to 15% of students at the undergraduate and graduate level plagiarizing in some form. Back in the early 90s, that's jumped to something like 40 or 50%. And the type of plagiarism that people are practicing is what I just mentioned, copying and pasting from electronic sources. Early on, it was pretty clear when the internet became widely accessible that students did not always understand what was in the public domain, what could be used by them versus what was intellectual property. And this is sort of a high-level legal argument, if you will, it's sort of philosophical. But there was a sense in the 90s and into the early aughts that if it was on the internet, it was basically free game for people to use. They could go in, copy and paste with impunity. Especially Wikipedia pages. Those tended to be basically words that you could harvest for whatever purpose you needed them, including papers at the college level. Only over the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years have we made inroads to explain that, no, that text belongs to somebody else too. And, you know, it's interesting, this term plagiarism actually comes from an old Latin word that relates to kidnapping or theft, right? So the sense is, the term is that people are stealing or kidnapping somebody else's words. And, you know, academics take that pretty seriously. It's what we do. If you take my words and you don't give me credit, I'm going to be pretty upset. Students, on the other hand, because they really hadn't dealt with this, no one had really explained it to them, thought, again, these words were available for anybody to use. Wikipedia is problematic, I think, because there's no author's name on it. So it doesn't look like you're stealing from one particular person. And as I think is pretty widely known, Wikipedia pages are crowdsourced. So there might be 100 people who end up contributing the text to the average Wikipedia page. It is not open for anybody to just take text from Wikipedia pages. For example, I know that there are Wikipedia pages that the text is taken from works that AUP has published in the past. So that might be my words. It might be the words of an NCO who's written for NCO Journal. That text is harvested and then repurposed as a Wikipedia page. Anything that you take from another source needs to be explicitly identified as coming from that source, and then that source needs to be credited. That's really what it comes down to. And if it's done correctly, it can really enhance a paper or a publication. And that's what we expect people to do. We want them to make an argument. We want them to provide evidence for their argument. And that's where you go to the outside sources, and that's when you bring in a quotation or a statistic that supports your argument.
And within our realm and our university press and how we define it within your academic background, what is plagiarism?
Okay, so let's get into some definitions. The way that we define plagiarism at Army University Press is that it is the appropriation of another author's words, sentences, without giving that other author credit. Normally, what we require when other authors' words are brought into a written work is an explicit identification of where those words came from. So we want to clearly identify the sentence or the phrase or even the word in some case that is not original to the author of the paper. And the way that that's usually done is with quotation marks. We put quotation marks or expect to have quotation marks around any text that is not original to the author of the paper. And that's the first part, explicit identification of text that's not original to the author. The second part is, after identifying that text, there's some reference to where that text came from. You know, most of the time that's a superscript number, a little raised number, and there'll be a note at the end of that work, whether it's a paper or an article or even a book. And the note will describe the source, will give all the information for where that text came from. In some cases, there are other references called parenthetical citations or parenthetical references, and the information on the original citation for the source is inside the parentheses, if you will. Because there's two types of plagiarism. The first is called direct plagiarism, where a writer will simply copy and paste a full sentence verbatim, in some case a full paragraph. I've seen writers actually copy and paste whole multiple pages, so three or four pages simply lifted from another source and pasted into their work, which again, they're putting their name on, they're passing off as their own, right? But there's this other form of plagiarism called mosaic plagiarism. And by the way, we have a policy at Army University Press that's available on our website, and we give explanations or examples of both kinds, direct and mosaic plagiarism. Mosaic plagiarism is becoming more popular, and it's because I think writers believe that if they simply bring in some text from another source and drop it in, and then they change a little bit of it, then they're not plagiarizing. And that's not actually the case. So, for example, mosaic plagiarism. If I brought in a paragraph from another source, and then I went into it and I dropped a few words, you know, I deleted a few, I added my own synonyms perhaps. So maybe I took out the word beautiful, but I substituted pretty for that. I am still plagiarizing. Even if I change, let's say 20% of the text that I borrowed from another source, I change 20% of that text, it's still plagiarism. Even if I cite it correctly, at the end of that sentence or paragraph. And again, why is it becoming more popular? I think because writers believe that they can avoid being accused of plagiarism by doing this. In some cases, we see full paragraphs that are simply sentences lifted from other sources. So, for example, if an author takes the first sentence from one source, takes the second sentence from a second source, and then a third source providing the last sentences of that paragraph, they don't put any quotation marks in there. That is an example of a paragraph that's built by mosaic plagiarism. There is an academic norm out there about self-plagiarizing or citing yourself. It's a norm, so it's not really written down, and different disciplines within academia feel about it in different ways. I can tell you in the humanities, it's not considered proper to cite yourself, at least very often in an article or a book. What you want to do is give credit to other people who are working on the same topic and explain how your interpretation of that particular subject might differ a little bit. And so you're sort of getting the whole community involved. And to cite yourself is a little too self-referential, not considered to be proper. Self-plagiarism is a little bit different, sort of related. Self-plagiarism, well, some people say that's an oxymoron because if I've written the words, they're mine. It's my intellectual property. I can use them any way that I want. So self-plagiarism is not exactly the right term. What we're talking about is writers who recycle their own text. And so they'll take text from a previous book or a previous article, and they'll bring it pretty much verbatim into a new work. And they'll be suggesting, by publishing a new work, they're suggesting this is new research, this is new interpretation. So if all you're doing is recycling from an old work, you're really breaking norms. You're really going against what the norms and expectations are of the profession. So self-plagiarism is not a great term. Maybe a better term would be recycling text. And that's also looked down upon, frowned upon by communities of peers in academia. It's unethical within the terms of or within the context of that particular community. And so what happens when this occurs is the peers will criticize that person. They will be, their book or their article will be reviewed poorly. In the course of reading a review of that book, somebody will bring up the fact that a lot of this new work is repetitious. It's essentially the same argument he or she made in the previous three books. And therefore, their reputation will suffer if they do self-plagiarize. As far as self-citing, you can get the same kind of issue where a historian or a political scientist, somebody like that who cites too many of their own works will definitely get a reputation for doing that, and their reputation will suffer because of that.
Can you talk a little bit about paraphrasing and how that might come into play with what we're talking about?
Yeah, most definitions of plagiarism talk about the borrowing of text or ideas from authors without giving attribution. This gets a little bit more complicated when you're talking about paraphrasing. Usually you're talking not so much about specific words. It's more about ideas. So in my field, history, if a particular historian has a new interpretation of why the United States won the Second World War, let's say, and it's original to that historian, I can't, as somebody who reads that historian's book, simply borrow that idea and pass it off as my own. So if I'm not talking about exactly copying his words, I'm talking about passing off his interpretation, his idea, as my own idea. Now, I can bring it into a paper that I'm writing, but I'd want to give that historian credit for it.
How can someone avoid plagiarism?
The answer to that question gets back to why people plagiarize in the first place. My sense, after teaching for 25 years and reading countless student papers, and I've taught, 18-year-olds, I've taught adult undergraduates, I've taught military officers in the world of professional military education. I've seen plagiarism at all those levels. And it seems to me that the problem is writing is hard work. And so people, being humans, look for shortcuts. And to borrow other people's text instead of writing your own sentences or paragraphs seems to be a temptation that a significant number of people can't avoid. They often are against a deadline. They often don't believe they have good enough writing skills, and they don't know where to begin in planning a paper. So to get back to your question, how can we avoid this? I think the best way is to plan your written work way out in advance. Don't put it off to the last minute. Understand what the rules of plagiarism are, what the definitions are, and understand how your particular instructor it will look at those rules and look at your paper. In many cases, instructors will use Grammarly or Turnitin, other software, to detect plagiarism, and they will let you know that ahead of time. But that doesn't prevent the student, him or herself, using that same software to look for plagiarism that they might have committed before they turned the paper in. And I believe a lot of instructors now, both in PME and in universities and colleges in this country, are requiring students to turn in papers with a report from Grammarly or Turnitin. to show the instructor that they, the students, have put their own papers through that detection software. So the more that students understand what plagiarism is, the better that they plan their papers, the better that they plan their time in writing those papers, I think that would go a long way. I'm convinced that most people who end up plagiarizing don't intend to be unethical. You know, in my mind, and in the mind of a lot of other people who teach, plagiarism is not a criminal offense. It's really an ethical issue. Again, back to what we were talking about earlier, we expect a paper that's turned in to be original. We expect that the students will live up to that standard of original text. So when a student doesn't do that, it's an ethical issue. It's it's about academic integrity rather than some kind of criminal offense or something like that.
Can you expand a little bit more on why it might be important for a publication when someone's submitting a work for publication, say NCO Journal, Military Review, JML, Joint Military Review, that work be original to the author?
Definitely with a press, whether it's an academic press like us or a commercial press, our reputation is based on offering our audience original work. So that when we put out a journal and we look at the articles in that journal or a book, the expectation is that that work is original and it meets certain norms that are largely academic norms, but those norms transfer over to the military world, that it's not simply something copied from, so an article in Military Review, for example, is not simply something that is derived heavily from some other work, that author had an original thought, the author went about writing using original sentences and paragraphs, and building on their idea, they are offering something new, well-researched, that lives up to these norms. So for us, it's very important to make sure that when we put out a book, it meets those norms. And one of the ways that we try to do that is when an article is submitted to one of our journals or a book manuscript is submitted to us, we do put it through the plagiarism software. In our case, we use Grammarly. As I mentioned, there's other software out there as a way to get a sense of where this manuscript is. Are there problems? Are they perhaps problems that can be easily remedied? Did the author not fully understand what our policy is? And in some cases, authors do understand, and they may just decide that it's worth submitting the paper anyways.
Within everyday military writing, such as an operation order or standard operating procedure, text from those are copied and pasted all the time. Why would that not be considered plagiarism?
Another good question, and it's one that we get all the time in the world of professional military education. We don't expect a platoon sergeant or a platoon leader necessarily to rewrite from scratch an operation order, right? But that's a different type of writing. What we're talking about when we're discussing plagiarism is writing for a class, again, whether it's a college or university on the one hand, or whether it's a school that NCOs are attending or officers, that's the different set of expectations. We are in the classroom, we are expecting originality. Writing an op order, there is no expectation of originality, especially if you've got a good template for an op order or a similar type document, and all you really need to do is change some of the dates, change some of the personnel. It may not need to be completely rewritten. So again, it's different contexts for two different types of writing, and it's something that should be automatically detected by the student, right? So the average NCO or officer, once they are in a school, should know that we are talking more like academic norms in those settings than in a battalion or a company where an operation order or an operation plan has to be written.
What are some other ways that we can avoid plagiarism?
Other tools that students can use in avoiding plagiarism are the resource centers that are usually available to them on campuses or at schools. Specifically, they're sometimes called writing centers or learning resource centers. And there are people there who get paid to help you plan a paper, help with your research, help you outline a paper, look at an early draft. And they're the ones that will explain plagiarism to you and can even give you some ideas about how to avoid it, or even work through a review. They may have access to Turnitin or Grammarly, that software, and they can do an early look at your paper and maybe even find plagiarism if you've blundered into it unconsciously. So that's first and foremost what I would say. But again, this goes back to understanding what plagiarism is. So if you don't understand, if the instructor is not clear about it, if there's no statement of what plagiarism is either in a course syllabus, or most universities and colleges will have their academic integrity policy posted online somewhere. Often you can go to that statement, that policy statement, and you will see a very clear definition of what plagiarism is and academic integrity. They'll talk about cheating. They'll talk about these kinds of things. So if it's still unclear after all of that, go talk to your instructor. If you have written a draft of your paper and you think there might be a problem, don't hand it in until you've asked your instructor about it. Show them what you might be concerned about and let the instructor come back and say, no, you've clearly crossed the line here. Here's a way to correct it. This is pretty straightforward. I think probably for the people who end up plagiarizing, there's a significant proportion that did not intend to plagiarize. They just don't understand. And that could be addressed if they just went to the instructor early enough to find out how to avoid this.
There might be some out there who choose to completely avoid any chance of plagiarism and simply not submit an article to the INSTO Journal or Military Review, for example. What advice would you give to those who are hesitant to submit an article for publication?
Definitely. And we want to read people's thoughts. We want to read what NCOs are and officers are thinking today about their service, the Army, what the Army could do better, what the Army has done well in the past or what they might have been involved with. I want to read and hear the voices of those NCOs and officers. I want to know what they think. They may feel like they aren't experienced writers, and they may not feel comfortable with the way they write. That might be one of the reasons why they go get somebody else's words. But I'd much rather know that author's thoughts, even if the writing is not spectacular or polished. So it's much more important for me and for our audience to hear the real voices of those authors rather than some other words taken from some other source.
Thank you, Dr. Wright, for talking with us about this important topic of plagiarism. You can join the conversation by following us on Facebook and Twitter at NCO Journal, and also our Instagram page at NCO Journal Official. You can also put your knowledge to print and submit articles to get published by visiting our official NCO Journal website.